Bill Flores joins us from D.C. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Great to be with you on News Talk 1620.
Thank you. Now, you're back in D.C., and, you know, one of the biggest stories that the Daily Beast had this morning really talked about the Texas VA and how, well, one person basically called it a crime syndicate, in that the higher-ups were telling the people below them to cover up this situation, and they pointedly talked about the Temple VA facility. While not in your congressional district, we know that a lot of people who live in your district go to that facility. I'd like to get your thoughts on where we are a week down this road.
Well, the Daily Beast report was particularly damning because they have copies of email chains that showed real-world examples as to how some of the higher-ups were and some of the senior doctors were forcing appointment dates to be changed and just arbitrarily canceling appointments in order to make their metrics look better. It's pretty scary stuff to see what some of these bureaucrats can do to our veterans.
Well, now, tell me today where you are positionally as far as Shinseki.
I am not in favor of having him resign, although I'll tell you I'm rapidly moving in the minority on this. I still contend that he is doing the best job he can with the bureaucracy. Now, I think we've given him the legislative tools he needs to be able to start cleaning up his senior management team and have people that perform better. So what I'd be in favor of doing is having him, giving him 6 more months to turn around. If he doesn't, then go ahead and terminate him. But I'm in favor of letting him stay where he is. But there are a lot of people that have a different position on that right now.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Now, the reality, what people want to hear, I guess, is this is a big ship. How do you turn this thing around? Because if this is a systemic situation where you do have higher-ups telling lowers to cover your tracks on this deal, realistically, what kind of changes can be made, and also realistically, how quickly could they be put into effect?
Well, unfortunately, Scott, I don't know that we can change this particular bureaucracy. There are tens of thousands of people in the Veterans Administration that are truly committed to taking care of our veterans. But there is a bureaucratic culture there that stifles the good behavior, that doesn't punish the bad behavior, and then set up an Enron type of bonus system so that people were, basically, if you cook the books, you were able to get a bonus. And I think what we need to do is we need to think outside the box and find a new model to deliver veterans benefits to veterans that always puts the veterans first and has a lot smaller bureaucracy. One thing about this whole VA scandal, this ought to be a wake-up call for all of America, because the VA has to take care of a finite number of veterans. But can you imagine what Obamacare is going to be like when you have a larger bureaucracy that takes care of millions and millions and millions of Americans? It just scares the heck out of me, particularly when you think that you're going to have a different kind of bureaucrat taking care of Obamacare than you are of the folks that take care of veterans in the VA. Because, like I said earlier, the VA has some really good people trying to take care of veterans in a great manner. I just don't think you're going to see that in the Obamacare bureaucracies.
Well, if they haven't waked up to this yet, they're really not paying attention. So let's hope that most everybody is at least starting to pay attention to this. The White House and the Pentagon have released a copy of the 2010 directive on military support to civilian authorities that really kind of details a pretty troubling situation, circumstances where federal military commanders can have authority in extraordinary emergency circumstances to take action because they have prior authority by the president to do whatever they need to quell, as it says, large-scale unexpected civil disturbances. We talked about this about an hour ago, and all three of us are kind of distraught that the federal government apparently can decide what a civil disturbance is and then go ahead and quell it.
Well, under the law, under posse comitatus, the president of the military has no such authority to do anything like that domestically. And if the president thinks he's got that sort of authority, he's got another thing coming to him. The military does not have that authority. I'm gonna look at these documents, and I'm sure over the next few days that Congress is going to be taking actions to make sure that everybody knows, that the American people know, that the executive branch authority is limited in this particular situation.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. There are a growing number, I guess, of Republicans and Democrats who say it's time to scrap the law that was passed back in 2011, on September 11th, 2001, having to do with terrorist attacks that basically gives the president war-making authority. Could you tell me how you feel about that? Because that's probably going to be discussed soon.
Well, I have to agree with that line of reasoning. Look, the president has broad authorities under what's called AUMF, the Authorization to Use Military Force. And he has basically everything that this president has touched, he's messed up. Look at the opportunities that we had in Iran that he missed. Then he withdrew from Iraq too quickly. We've left a train wreck in Iraq. He didn't get involved in Syria, but then he did get involved in Libya. And everywhere he's gone from a foreign policy perspective, he's just left a trail of destruction in his wake. And so I think this particular president needs a whole lot less authority. And if we have to modify the AUMF to do that, I'm certainly in favor of it.
Well, you know, you say that, and then basically yesterday when he was speaking at West Point, he said he wants to do a more targeted, his words, approach to the scattered threat of terrorism. So does that sound like a more laser-pointed situation where he wants to go in with a smaller force and smaller action?
Well, that's what he's saying, but and under the AUMF today, he has that authority, but at the end of the day, the Constitution says Congress decides where we're going to use our military. And so I think it's up to Congress to reassert its constitutional authority in this particular issue. And I think that Congress, both sides of the aisle in Congress, are frustrated enough with how he's fouled things up around the world that we're inclined to give him less authority and not more.
All right, so you're back in session. What anything going to take place this week, or what else will you be looking at before we talk again next week?
Well, the main thing this week, we had our big VA hearing last night to talk about some of the allegations that came up regarding cooking the books on the appointments. We also have the Commerce, Justice, Science, Appropriations bill that we're going to vote on today. And then tomorrow we'll vote on an intelligence reauthorization bill.
All right, so we'll be talking about that and more. Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Good talk to you, Scott. I'd ask our listeners continue prayer for our country, our military, and our first responders that protect us from threats abroad and here.
All right. Thank you so much.